what would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small dawn is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Well, here we are on St. John Forward Radio. I'm your host, John Forward. We're recorded live every Monday at 9 o'clock on local FM 107.3. And you've all been waiting for it. The other shoe has dropped. I've been talking about it for months. I changed the domain for the podcast to johnforward.podbean.com from H to the C. And finally, people's podcast players have it's caught up, and the Dan McCarthy episode did not automatically download into my phone. I fixed the iTunes settings, but it doesn't... You can get it on iTunes, but my regular thing isn't working, so apologies for that. Figure it out. I don't know. So that's the main point of business. I guess also to follow up on a bit of a cliffhanger from last week with my my ongoing work situation. Last Monday night, I talked about the job interview that I had earlier that very same day that I thought I went well, but I was reluctant about the actual job. I actually got offered not that job, but a different one in the same company the following day on the Tuesday. Still temporary, only goes until September. Confirmed that the pay is in fact garbage, and I would have had to start today, which is a few weeks early to my my 6 weeks doomsday ultimatum that I was given at the other job. So I don't know. It just it felt like the wrong move. So, and since they were starting so quick, I didn't want to leave them hanging too long. So Tuesday afternoon, I called them back. I made it a phone call so I could add that John Forward touch to it. And I explained, I didn't tell them the whole work situation, but I said, look, I'm probably going to get laid off on July 5th. And I'm worried that if I take this temporary thing, it's going to interfere with that. I might get a severance pay or something, and I'm concerned about EI if I have to resign from this job rather than getting laid off. But I made it clear that I agonized over this decision, and I did. I wanted to work for the company. It felt that part of it, but just the details didn't seem to work out for me. So I said no. But then part of the reason was I didn't really talk about it on the radio just in case there were any work spies, but I had been talking to a couple of labor lawyers in the meantime, figuring out what my moves were at work. They both of the ones I talked to were pretty confident that it would be a pretty safe bet to get more than, like, they wanted to just boot me out the door after the 6 weeks with nothing and say that 6 weeks notice is all I'm entitled to. The lawyers had other different things to say. They said, like, the 6 weeks would be like the absolute bare minimum, so you can't go to the labor board, but the common law, and there's lots of cases to back it up, no judge would ever let it go at that. So if I made a fuss, then I would have been able to get something out of them. I'm not sure how much. One of the lawyers said it probably wouldn't even be worth, like, hiring him full time at $185 an hour, but I could hire him to write a letter so that if they sent me on my way with nothing, I could say, I've got a counteroffer for you, and slap down the letter lawyer on the table. But I didn't. So anyway, I declined the job, knowing that the lawyer advised me, yeah, but all this is out the window. As soon as you resign, then they don't owe you anything. And that's, I didn't want to give them what they wanted, because they wanted me to resign so that they wouldn't have to pay me out. But so anyway, I went back to work the next day. That morning, I don't know if I mentioned it on the radio show or not, but I'd been volunteering my precious work time to go down and work with kids at an elementary school. And they had their volunteer appreciation thing on Wednesday morning, just a little thing in their gym, and they gave us tea and cookies and stuff. And the little kiddies came out, and all the different grades sang their thank you songs, and I got really choked up listening to the little kiddies singing their thank you songs, even though I knew their teachers made them do it, but it made me emotional. And they all came around and handed out little mason jars with like a rainbow layer of jelly beans and a little handwritten note on it that says thank you for making every day a little brighter. And I couldn't take it anymore, so I called back up the company and I asked if it was too late to change my mind, and it wasn't. So I did take the job. I went back to work, went straight to the HR lady's office and said, "Hey, I've got another job and I'm starting on Monday. At the very least, can you pay me out for the whole 6 weeks?" And then she started to, and she's like, "Oh, congratulations." And I said, "Well, yeah, it was obviously very fake because she's a sociopath." But I explained, "Yeah, don't get too excited. It's terrible pay and it's only for 10 weeks. So I'm still not in good shape. Can I have some money, please?" And she started to explain to me why, no, they don't have to. And I just turned around and walked out of her office mid-sentence. And so then I did not pay my boss the respect of telling him to his face. I sent him and the HR lady an email saying, "I have another job. It starts on Monday. I'm taking a big pay hit. I'm hoping it leads to something else, but it's only temporary. Please do me a favor and give me the 6 weeks." They did agree to one additional week. So that's more than I expected. So I sent off my email officially resigning. I sent out a message to all my drivers saying that this was on Wednesday. I said Friday was going to be my last day. Working with you guys has been my favorite part of the job, and that was true. And all afternoon I was getting messages from the drivers just saying, wishing me good luck and saying how great it was to work with me too. And that got me all choked up again. I cried like a baby my whole way home from work on Wednesday. And I'm not sure if they were sad tears or happy tears, but they just came and drove past Chris Trotter on my way home, and she congratulated me on making a real heart decision. And I'm like, okay. And so, yeah, everybody seems to be saying, like, good for you for doing something sweet like that. And I want to believe them, but it's still not easy for me. I am giving up a lot of money, which I love money. And I'm going to end up going from making more than I can spend to maybe struggling to pay my bills. And I've got a wife and a cat who depend on me. I've got to think about them. But more importantly than any of that, I've given up my opportunity for spite. I don't get to slap my lawyer letter down. I don't get to take down the big corporate power for whatever piddly amount of money that I would get out of them after 3 years of legal battles. I don't get to fight that fight. I don't get to find out what happens. It's a bit of a disappointing ending to this whole saga. But I also started to think about, like, an even worse case scenario would be, what if they just caved in after 6 weeks and I just had to stay? Knowing that they tried to push me out, it would be like the end of The Shield, which, if you don't get that reference, just put the podcast on pause and watch 88 episodes of The Shield. And that's still less time than the additional 3 weeks at my job that I would have had to endure if I stuck it out. So no complaining allowed. I had my first day today. I'm feeling real weird about it, but I'm going to reserve my judgment until it actually starts, because I think I'll like it. I'll be working with special needs kids or kid. But I don't know. It was weird. It didn't help that 95% of the people in the first day of staff training today were under the age of 22. And I'm probably going to throw up a little bit when I get that first paycheck. But I'm genuinely afraid of what's going to happen. I'm hoping it's good, but I made a hard choice. I'm going to take it one day at a time. I'm a little bit pleased with myself that I took the more peaceful route. I'm making a sacrifice to do some good in the world. I just hope the world takes care of me. But before anybody thinks I've gone too soft, you should know that the John Forward peaceful exit still included me sending a big FU email, not to everybody, but a lot of the people that work with me, that said, as the company decided that my continued employment would no longer be worthwhile after July 5th, unless I agreed to go back to shift dispatch, today will be my last day. I start a job with the, I don't think I should say the company that I'm currently working for, in case I say something on here that I don't want repeated. Anyway, I start a job with these people on Monday. I am confident that my replacement, a layer of asphalt in the parking lot, will do a fine job. It has been a pleasure working with most of you. Backstory, the parking lot is an actual thing. They're spending like probably a decade of my salary, but it's hard times. And then I was escorted from the building by the HR boy shortly after that. Fingers crossed I haven't made a horrible, horrible mistake. To be continued. So you can hear my my guest chuckling in the background. Or you're on mic too. There we go.
Is my mic on?
Whoa, too much.
All right, it's on.
Dial it back. How are you doing, Mark?
Oh, you know, I'm doing all right. I think we should mention your sponsor, at least for that segment, brought to you by Lunesta. You know, John, I'm sitting right across here. You might have made eye contact with me four times in 11 minutes. Why are you addressing the tape decks over here?
Because that's... I'm addressing the listeners. If I'm looking you in the... Isn't that more creepy when I'm looking you in the eyes, not actually
talking
to you?
Yeah, when we did catch eyes, it was a little weird. I'll give you that.
All right, so we'll have more with Mark Splude, but before we get to the song, I've got to address some controversy from last week. Last week I said I didn't like local music-based comedians, and people have noted that even though I didn't name names, it was pretty obvious because there's only one person that I could have been talking about. So I just want to officially apologize to MC Crosswalk. God rest his soul. I worked with him. I did some production, but I was mostly just there for the babes, and he's dead now, but I feel like I besmirched him. And
besmirched myself here, I think.
Yeah, but to make things right, I'm gonna play one of his songs, even if I don't think it's very good. But it's what I need to do to make amends.
I thought I get to pick the songs.
You get to pick one song.
One song.
And that happens after your first real talking segment.
Oh, okay. All right, John.
You obviously don't listen to this show.
Oh, I do, but, you know, I don't care enough.
Well, here is a terrible MC Crosswalk song. I apologize.
That's right, motherfuckers, I'm back. And this motherfucker's on crack. Y'all thought I was just gonna fade away, but now this dog's gonna have his day. The hating motherfuckers, they be dissing me, but the real motherfuckers, they were missing me. Y'all motherfuckers so predictable. It was like you had some hands but no dick to pull. It's like 420 without a joint. Sure enough, like goes off, but what the fuck is the point? So I'm back to save all your worthless life. It's okay, time to put away those knives. I'm an F5 and I'm coming full force. I'm back to fuck you up, not showing remorse. Don't fuck with me, you know I meant it when I said it. And when I'm done with you, you're gonna need an anesthetic. I left for a while, but now I'm back in the game. I'm back to walk the line between pleasure and pain. So strap yourselves in, because I have yet to begin. Return of the Miracle Master, version 2.0. Don't you know I'm slightly faster to the max? It's a fact, bouncing racks populate the front stage. I'm in a rage, not going nowhere, so be prepared, and that's a dare. Crawling back
from the gutter, busting rhymes like no other. I wasn't going to it, but I'm challenged, I said to it. Too many people, they be doubting my skills. But if it keeps up, there's gonna be some blood spill. Like Bruce Willis coming back with a vengeance. Back with more power than a couple of jet engines. It's about time, brought some shit to the table. Fat rhymes, dope beats, yo, I'm more than able. I got some help from my homeboy Junk. I'm busting rhymes, he's producing the song. There won't be no stopping of this motherfucking team. And if you think so, pitch yourself with a dream. If you ain't down, we don't give a fuck. Keep your mouth shut or give my dick a suck. To say you don't like the choice we give. There ain't no stopping MC Crosswalk, bitch. I've heard enough, so go get fucked. Red Rover, Red Rover, ease your mind. The song is almost over. Turn up the lyrical master version 2.0. Don't you know I'm slightly faster to the max? It's a fact. Bouncing racks populate the front stage. I'm in a race, not going nowhere. So be prepared, and that's a dare.
All right, back on St. John Forward Radio on Local FM. I'm John Forward. I'm here with my guest, Mark Splude.
Hey there.
Who was just on the No Jokes Barred 3-year anniversary show this past weekend.
That was a great show.
Why don't you tell us about it?
Like start to finish? I'm probably going to do that on my podcast, John. Come on.
All right.
I thought it was a great show. I thought, here's what I think. First of all, I think Travis Boyce leveled up and had a great set that night. And Brian Godso took a huge step up, too. I thought those guys really stood out on that show.
Yeah, I agree. Everybody had good sets. Ken Bolton went for 85 minutes.
Yeah, 86. Yeah, something like that.
Oh, it's his last show, and he was getting laughs, so I let it slide, but...
If he was dying up there, you'd have to, give him the hook.
Yeah, I think everybody did well. My set was a bit of a lull in the middle, I found, but everybody else did pretty bang on.
Like I said, I wouldn't be too hard on that set, because there was a lot going on in the room at the time that you were up there. It was right after intermission, no one was settled. And, you're the kind of guy, John, that you got to have everyone's attention to do well. Yeah. You're telling a story. So I wouldn't give up on that bit just yet.
Well, yeah, I'll take moments from, and I've got the old work bit, too, that I can kind of mix and match pieces with, like the one about having the anxiety attack before. So
you've been doing that forever, John. Let it go.
I've done it like four times. Which I guess leads into the first topic that, No Jokes Barred was great.
Yeah, it was. Congratulations, John. 3 years, that it's a big deal. Yeah. It really is. I didn't just say it on stage just for something to say. That's a big deal, man. That's the most important show in this city by far. It really is.
Yeah, I enjoy doing it. I will not be hosting karaoke ever again. Hopefully in my life. Just dealing with the people. Like, when am I going to get to go up? And my throat was really bad by the end of the night.
You're lucky it wasn't in Edmonton, because if you don't put the right person up, you could get cut by a machete up there.
Yeah.
Oh, the triads, they take the karaoke pretty seriously.
All right. So one of the – I told you I wanted to pick some fights with you tonight.
Yeah. That's why I'm here.
On the most recent episode of the Spludecast, which you can find on SoundCloud.
iTunes.
Oh, it's not on SoundCloud.
It's
anymore.
On SoundCloud as
okay.
well, but
it's
yeah.
on both.
Yeah.
You on the episode with your wife Jamie, one topic that came up was new material.
Right.
Do you want to refresh us on what is your take on performing new material, just to get everybody caught up?
Well, my theory on comedy, and this is for me, I want to constantly be writing and performing new material all the time. I don't want to repeat stuff. I don't get the same, I don't get jazzed from it, and I don't think I learn from it either. I don't think you can really truly learn unless you're doing new material all the time. So my deal is, every time I'm booked on a show, like at the R-Bar or O'Leary's, I'm not going to repeat anything I've said on those shows ever. I'm always going to bring new material.
Yeah. Well, you're saying it now as if it was yourself. The tone on the podcast was, this is what I do and everybody else should do it too.
Okay, well, let's look
We're at in the, a new time.
Let's look at the... Yeah, exactly. No, that is my opinion. Look at the top, John, right? Yeah. What are the top comics doing? Like Louis, right? What are all these guys doing? They're doing an hour every year. And, you know, when that year is up, they do the special. They drop all that material and start over from scratch. Right.
Well, yeah.
So I think we should be looking at the top. We're not, you know, we're nowhere near these guys, right? But we're aspiring to, you know, maybe one day be there. I'm taking my cues from the top of the heap.
Okay. Well, my counterpoint is I'm not a fan of the people, especially around here, that have been doing the same 15 minutes for like 4 years.
Absolutely.
Oh, we've got a phone call. I didn't even give out the number. Somebody's got to weigh in on this issue. Let's see if I can make the phone work.
I can't wait.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This you're on the air on St. John Forward Radio.
This is Brittany Campbell. I just want to yell at Mark Splude for a second.
Hi, Brittany.
Hi, Mark.
What are you going to yell at me for?
Well, you're going on about top comics doing new material all the time, but those top comics are like honing that material for a whole year.
Yeah, 1 year. But I'm talking about people who are doing the same set for like 3-4 years.
Oh yeah, well they're the worst. We already hate them.
Yeah, we all agree on that. But
we already hate them. But like you can't go out like every single show you do and do new stuff. I can.
I do. What do you mean
you
I can't?
Do,
I do.
But I suck. So I need to practice.
But yeah, those guys at the top, they've been doing it for decades.
Yeah,
and that. When they drop material, that's after they've performed it hundreds of times.
Exactly. Here's what I'll tell both of you.
Think about the per show.
Here's what I'll tell both of you. This is what works for me.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Saturday night, I did a bit that I wrote the day before, and I hadn't been on stage in 2.5 months. How did it go, John?
It went good.
I crushed. What do you mean I went good?
My point.
There was a handful of young dudes that had just walked in the bar and they were talking, yapping. Within 30 seconds of me being on stage, they all took a seat and shut up and listened to what I had to say.
Agreed. Yeah. But what if that good or even great bit could be an amazing bit after you turn it over a few times?
My best thing is to like do a set and record it, even if it's audio, it doesn't have to be video, whatever, and listen back and find out that there's spots that people laughed that I didn't even know was part of the joke, and that just happened to be the best spot. So I'll do it again a couple times. And, like, these top comics, they can jump on any show. They could do, like, 3 shows a night minimum if they wanted to. But do this for a year, and they would just like they would be sick of it after the year. So of course they're going to turn it over.
You're absolutely right, but I want to challenge something you said, John, because the set that I did Saturday night, I'm never going to be able to. It's never going to be that good because I'm never going to have that same feeling of doing it for the first time. I'm never going to have that back. I'm never going to have that same energy with that material again. Even though I can improve it, I can make it funnier, I can make it longer, whatever, but I'm not going to have that same energy that I give it the first go, right?
Well, we talked about the set that I did last month at the R Bar, the Moby Dick story, and you're complimenting me on that, and it did well, and I was happy with it, but I made the point that that's like 90% of it was the same exact words as a year ago when I did it last, and you made the point that everything about that was different except for the words.
Yeah.
But
your delivery.
Right, but couldn't your delivery be improved too?
I like to think my delivery is improving every time, right? But I think that also it also helps me because I do new material. I have to find new ways to deliver new words. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If I'm doing the same stuff over and over, I'm not going to learn anything.
Well, that's only if you're doing it the same way. What if one line, like it's the editing process only gets you so far. You got to put it in front of somebody. Probably every set that you do have at least one line that you thought would be good that didn't land. And there might be 5 more lines on the cutting room floor that would have landed that you didn't think so, but you never got the chance to put them in there and see how they fit.
But you know what? I don't labor over my material like that. I don't fall in love with it. I want to write it. I want to do it. I want to do well with it. And then I want to let it go. You know,
I fall in love with almost all of the jokes that I write that I love.
Oh, I do too. Of course I love what I write, but what I mean by falling in love with is like I'm willing to give it up. yeah. for new there's, stuff, you know?
There's different ways of doing new material, too. Like, you could do, if you're doing the same set all the time with the same wording and you're painting it the same way, that's different than how I will do a new set. I'll do sometimes the same jokes in different ways and different wordings with different tags.
Yeah, you'll move stuff around, add like stuff to new. The same bit. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah
when
I don't
when
like
you
to
watch
do-
a comic that, like, you can hear the words coming next because you've heard that set so many times.
Yeah.
You know the actual phrasing that's coming next is too much.
Yeah, it's way too much. I agree. Yeah.
I can get off the air, though, because you guys are having a nice chat. But
well, you're a part of it. You can stay if you want to.
Sure, yeah.
You're long distance money.
But yeah, and like for me, I don't do as well when I repeat material, you know? Because I don't feel the same about it, and the crowd feels that, too.
You don't feel good about it delivering the same thing to a new group of people who's never heard it before?
No, man. It's still because I'm sick of it. You know, once I've done it three or four times, I'm tired of doing it, and that comes across. You know, like your Bible camp story, for example, mm-hmm. right? It's great, and it's gotten you know better over, but you've been doing it a long time.
Yeah, that one doesn't change much if I do repeat it.
Yeah. But you've been doing it a long time. I can't do that. Like, you know, I'll take, for example, the short that when I used to, you know, make fun of my height, that whole bit. Mm-hmm. That was a very successful, probably my most successful bit in the beginning, right? I'm not going to ever touch that material. Not in a million years. I'm not going back to that stuff, right?
Well, why wouldn't you, though? I just, like, if you were given an opportunity where, I don't know, a certain person's eyes were on you for the first time, whether it's an audience or some, I don't know, somebody that can do something for you, you don't want to, isn't that a good time to bring out the greatest hits?
No, you know why, and here's what I'll tell you. My greatest hit right now is what I did Saturday night. That's way better than the short, right? So why would I go back? I'm going to go backwards. I'm not going to learn anything. It's not going to help me any.
Well, would you say, I'm curious to know if you would say the same thing if you watched it back, because I remember I sent you the video of your last O'Leary's set, and I didn't actually watch it, I just uploaded it and sent it to you, but you'd commented how you blew a few lines and here and there, like,
yeah.
Did you know that before you watched the set on the video?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's the risk of doing brand new material all the time, right? Like, I forgot two paragraphs of that set I was going to do that
right,
I did.
But aren't you curious to know how it would have gone if you didn't?
No, and I mean, the set I did Saturday night went over so hot that I'm probably going to do it again. Never again at the R Bar, you know?
Yeah.
And not at O'Leary's either, because really, they're really kind of the same show. You get some of the same people at both of those shows, right? So yeah. I'm not gonna cross over that way either.
I'm on the radio.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, Brittany's on the radio.
Sorry, I was talking to my brother. He asked me a question. No, there's I think there's a difference between you, Mark, and me a little bit, because
no.
I do a lot of
take off
shorter jokes, and you do a bit. So if I did a bit, like, let's say your short bit, I'd get sick of that, doing that bit all the time, too, right? But if I can throw, like, I've never done the same set, 10-minute set or whatever, exactly the same ever. So, like, if I can throw an old joke that works in with the new set, I'll throw that in, which technically I'm doing old material too.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Okay. So when you're doing that, Brittany, right, where do you get the juice? Do you get it from doing the old material, or do you get the juice that night from the new material?
It's a bit of a difference, because when I write a new bit that an old joke works in it, I'm really excited that it works with that. And I know that's a good one. And some of my jokes, I'm like, I'm really happy with them. I'm kind of proud of them. But it's not like a 3-minute chunk. It might be like 25 seconds max.
Yeah.
Well,
So throwing that in with a new area makes me happy, because it works again. Because when I do it too many times in the same kind of order, it gets stale, right?
Yeah.
But when I can find a new light to that old joke I hadn't done in like 6 months, 8 months or whatever, it almost makes it feel like, okay, it's still good. It almost gives it energy again.
Yeah, me too. Like my last set at the R Bar we were talking about, I'm not going to get into the bit, but the new way that I framed it was just to tie it into my wife being sober for a year, and like, what about me? I gave up this for a year, and just that little bit of an idea kind of put a new, even though the words were mostly the same in the middle, it put a new context on it.
And
I get more excited for when an old bit that didn't work, if I find a way to make it better than I do doing well right out the gate with a brand new one.
Yeah, but for me, man, I'm in comedy for me, you know? And what makes me excited to continue to do comedy is to continue to do new stuff all the time, right?
Right, and that's your choice. Yeah. I think that even your best stuff could be even better if you turned it over a few times.
Absolutely, but my next bit is going to be better than my last bit because I continue to write and continue to improve, you know?
Yeah.
And like I said, I love your Bible camp story. I don't want to hear it again. You know what I mean, John? Like, it comes down to, I just don't want to hear it again.
Yeah, and I don't want to do it for people that have heard it. But right. If I'm doing a big show in front of a new crowd who's never seen me, I'm probably going to bust that one out just because I know it will do well.
Yeah.
I'll still feel good about it.
But you may not kill with it because you're going to have this feeling like, hey, I've been doing this a while. I'm kind of sick of this. And, you know, I'm just kind of using it because I know it works. I don't know, man. That's not for me.
Right. I was complacent, kind of, when we did the Grand Bay show, because I had done those jokes, probably most of them, like, 5 times.
See, and you felt it up there.
Oh, yeah, I did. I spoke too quickly. I just rushed through it. Like, it wasn't the love into it. But I've still taken some of those jokes and put them in other spots, and it works. And if I was living somewhere where I could do comedy, you know, multiple nights of the week, it would be fantastic to work out a bunch of stuff and be able to do a new bit every time I get paid or whatever that is. But now I haven't even told a joke on stage in over a month, and it's fucking hard. I'm doing a show in July and I'm like, okay, well, I've wrote a bunch of new jokes. I'm going to do a bunch of those, but I'm definitely going to throw some old ones in.
But here's what I'll say just to wrap up my side. I'm just tired of hearing other comics do the same stuff over and over, like, as a fan.
Fair.
Because, you know,
yeah.
I'm a fan of most of the local comics, and I want new material from them as a fan, you know?
Yeah.
That's where I stand, and
that's
I think the more you do new material, the more you grow as a comic. That's my opinion.
Well, yeah. I think
you can't do the same stuff over and over for the rest of your career, but anyway, go ahead, John.
Well, I was just going to say, I'd be worried, especially, like, it's one thing if you're going to say, I want to do this because I don't have fun repeating stuff, but when you're gonna say, like, I don't want to hear your old stuff again, you're not really the same as a casual fan because you're going to a lot more shows. People at the average show haven't seen that same set in like 3 different cities like you have.
Agreed.
And it puts a lot of undue pressure on the new people. I'm constantly brand new comics, after they do a show, they apologize to me for doing the same set that they just did at the Wilser's Room, and I tell them, like, the show's not for me. I don't want you to audition for me.
And that's
you're doing
fine.
The show for the crowd.
Venue, different city. I mean, you know, I totally understand that. I just want people to start letting go of their bits that worked 2 years ago. Let it go.
Yeah.
You know, write new stuff. You don't have to do that same bit from 2 years ago just because it did well. You know, just start writing. You're going to do well again. You know,
yeah,
that's actually good advice to say they're going to do well again, because I find, like, sometimes when I'm doing a new set, like, Mark saw me back at the Air Bar a few months ago, and I was like freaking out. I was like, oh my God, I'm doing a whole new set, like, whatever. And he's like, Brittany, like, stop, there's no pressure, like, just do your new stuff. And as soon as I let go, it was great.
Yeah.
But when you go, like, my first time I ever did comedy, I got asked to do a second set like a week later. And I got asked that day of the show, and I messaged Eric, actually. I was like, is it okay if I do the same stuff? He's like, yeah, I don't fucking care. But in my mind, I was like, oh my God, I can't say the same joke 2 times. But what'd you say? Because he does?
No, I was just going to say, I bet he didn't mind that you're doing
the same material because he was doing the same stuff.
Right.
Yeah, forever.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and that's like, I don't know. I still dust off stuff that's years old just because, well, and it's different when you've only got like 30 minutes total and you're just turning over the same stuff over and over again. But, like, and not all of it's good, but I've probably got like 2 or 3 hours of material that when I was doing it 2 years ago, probably wasn't very good. And if I can find a new angle on it and make it good again, I don't know why I would throw it away.
There's nothing wrong with that. And you know, to be honest, not everyone is prolific as I am, right? So, and I understand.
Well, then.
I understand. No, it's true, though.
No,
right?
It's true, yeah.
It's true. I'm not trying to brag. It's just a fact, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's... it's irresponsible as us elder comedians to put yourself in the position where you're demanding that they perform new stuff for you. You're not the target audience.
Well, first of all, what made you think that I'm going to be a responsible adult? I mean, you're sitting right across me, looking at me. I'm trying to get through to you.
I'm telling you how you're hurting the feelings of the new kids that I don't want to do another set because Mark's flute will be mad at me if I repeat myself.
If there's snowflakes like that, they're not welcome on the stage where I'm at anyway.
You know what? There's a little bit of a difference, though, because I can't speak for everyone, but I know at least, like, me, Mark, and you, John, like, probably the same way, is when I write new material, I don't just write it down once and go, okay, that's a joke. I'll write it down, and I'll go over it and over it for as long as I can until I know that it's going to work on stage.
Absolutely.
So when you're doing new stuff that you've actually put a lot of thought into, it's not a big deal. But when someone's writing a joke once and just being like, all right, that's my new thing, then of course it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Because you haven't thought about it in different ways, right? Like when I write a joke, I'll go over it and like almost too much. But if they're, you know, it brings a lot of pressure onto them to do it. But if they think about it enough, they can make it work doing new stuff.
Yeah, I just want to make a differentiation for anybody listening that, like, we do give a hard time to certain people that do the same set word for word over and over again. And then Mark Splude would be on the other end of the spectrum where it's almost always new stuff every time.
Yeah.
There is an in-between, and anybody that isn't able to do a new set every time shouldn't be worried about what we think about it.
Until you're ready to do a new set every time, you should probably even mix it in. Like, do a new chunk and then put a couple old jokes at work, just so that when you get off stage, you don't feel like a bag of shit.
And how about even if you're going to repeat material, you want to get it to where you know it can be, at least keep writing. You know,
yeah,
keep
writing
in the meantime, because I really believe that, you know, the more you write, the better you get at this. Obviously, right? It's practice makes perfect.
Yeah, and I just don't think even the freshness of it compared to the inexperience of it, I don't think the first time I do any set is ever the best it's going to be.
No,
like the first time I did my work set about having the anxiety attack, I was feeling it. That was like that day, and I watched the video and I can see myself like shaking and stuff, but I'm very into it. But also it's hard to, you need that distance of like, I know I need to do it a few times just so that I know all the words. And that way, once I've got the words down, then I can kind of play with a little bit more and be more in the moment. And that doesn't happen if you do a new set every time.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I know I can improve on my bits if I continue to do them. But it's no fun for me.
I like to improve on them just for the fact that I know that the first time I go up, if I don't have paper and I do that set, I forget multiple jokes. And the next time I want to get those in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it makes a big difference for me in that set that I'm not going to lie, I do a lot of the same jokes, but I don't do it in the same wording and the same sequence and all that stuff. But,
well, I've never found you tiresome, Brittany.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you,
John. Hey, Brittany, hey. Hey, John, I want to take a left turn here.
Well, should we take a break and then come on? Are we on a new topic?
I'd like it kind of ties into this a little bit, but yeah, a little.
All right.
Little,
well, let's thank you for calling in, Brittany.
Thank you,
no
Brittany.
No problem. It's time for me to have another beer anyway, so
so
it'll be a good time to say goodbye.
All right.
Good talking to you, Brittany.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. All right. So I'm going to play a quick station ID, and then do you want to set up your request song?
Sure. Do you want the story behind it, or do you just want me to tell you what it is?
We're at 9:40, so keep it quick so we've got time to get into the next topic.
So there's a fighter, Matt Hughes. It was his walkout song. He got hit by a train, and he's in a coma. This is for Matt Hughes. It's called Country Boy Can't Survive by Hank Williams Jr.
Give our DJs a call, 685-925,
local 107.3 FM, CFMH.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a-goin' dry. is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those Winsome boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
We're back on St. John Forward Radio. I'm here with Mark Splude.
Hey there.
You've got something to challenge me on, I hear.
Well, I don't, not really challenge you. I want to ask you something because I'm, you know, depending on the answer, I may repeat what I did at the R Bar at the O'Leary show on July 7th. Is it the 7th?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is this No Jokes Barred Deluxe? Is it truly No Jokes Barred? Can I say whatever I want?
Yeah.
Because I got to be honest, like what I've been writing lately is terrible. Like, I mean, it's really bad stuff. I don't know why, for whatever reason, but just recently, everything I'm writing is super offensive. So if it truly is No Jokes Barred, I'm going to repeat part of what I did on Saturday night and add a whole bunch of terrible stuff to it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all right?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
I might not like it, but, like, that's the corner I've painted myself into.
That's right, yeah.
I
got you by the tail here, John.
Well, that's fine by me. But you'll if somebody hears it and doesn't like it, I don't know. If there is blowback, I can't imagine that there would be, but I would have to communicate that somehow. It's not going to come from me.
Sure.
I assume a bit of feminism is going to be mentioned. I was going to ask you about that tonight.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
That was a big part of your set. I just want to know, what specifically have feminists done to Mark Splood to make your life so hard?
You know, I've got an easy life. I'm not sitting here complaining about anything, but it's the man shaming that goes on now. You know what I mean? Oh, you don't have to hunt. You don't have to be a man.
What's wrong with saying you don't have to? You're making it sound like people are saying, Mark Splood, you're too damn manly. Dial it back.
Yes.
It's not happening.
Yes, that is happening.
Who's done that?
It is happening. I'm not going to name names here.
Give me an anecdote.
And listen, John, I mean, this is kind of a crazy conversation for me to have with you because you carry a purse for crying out loud. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to understand my point of view here. Like, you think a hammer is a thick thumb on a lesbian. Like, you know, I'm a man's man, John.
Nobody's telling you not to be.
There are people telling me not to be.
Well, not even who. Tell me what they said.
I'll tell you who is now. Absolutely nobody. I'm off social media. Been off for almost 3 months, and I feel great. No one's man shaming me anymore, John.
Can you give me a situation where you were? You don't have to say who it was.
Okay, so this one person sent my wife some messages saying that maybe I'm trying too hard to be a man's man, and I can dial it back, and she should help me do that and assure me that, you know, I don't have to do these things that, you know, to do them for her or for whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And that, just as an example, you know.
Okay, I'll give you that. That person, and I'm pretty sure I know who you're talking
about. And I will say to that person, you show me a feminist, and I'll show you someone who can't fix your sink. That's what I will say to that person.
I mostly fixed my sink. I needed you to help me finish the job.
Just joking here, obviously.
But, well, that person that you're talking about is, I wouldn't say that that person represents feminism. They may think that they do, but they're a lunatic.
Yeah.
And you can't paint the whole thing. It's not a monolith. Like, you're talking about, like, the worst case, like, straw man cartoon version of a feminist.
Right, feminazis, that's what I'm talking about. I have no problem with feminism, man. Listen, I love women, you know, and I think they should be treated fairly and equally in all this, right? But it's almost swung the other way. They want to be superior, right? Okay. Oh, we're doing Ghostbusters, that's it. What are you talking about?
How does that take away from you?
What do you mean?
We're going to do Ghostbusters. Why do you need to stop it?
I need to stop it because, first of all, the first Ghostbusters is perfect. What do you need to change it for? There was a strong female lead in that movie.
They didn't delete the old one.
They're trying to change it. Oh, no, we think it'd be better with girls. Come on now. Come on, we're talking about Bill Murray.
Did somebody say we think this would be better with girls?
Well, do you think they sat in their meetings before they made the movie and went, I think this is going to be worse than the first Ghostbusters. Let's do it anyway.
Do you think people making Hollywood movies are talking about how good it's going to be or how much money it's going to make?
Well, it's really the same thing, isn't it? And how much money did that movie make? Did it do well?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't know.
Where's Red Band?
I can't answer that. One line, I don't remember if this was from your set or from the podcast, but I took note of it.
Oh, nice for taking notes.
Men need to remain savage for the sake of the species.
Absolutely. How do you think we got here, John? By carrying purses? Like, come on.
Do you not think that we can outgrow things?
It may be gradually, but not just right now in 2017. You have to change now. Come on, don't sexualize women. Men have been sexualizing women for 250,000 years, and we're going to turn it off now because of the internet? Come on.
We just don't need to be actively making people uncomfortable, whether they have vaginas or not. But
you're making me uncomfortable with your vagina.
But, like, an argument could be made that our society wouldn't be the way it is now without religion, but I think we'd both agree
it'd
that
be a lot better, wouldn't it?
We've outgrown that. Yet there may have been a time where you needed religion just to stop people from bashing each other over the
head. I think that's still true. I really do. I think people need religion. You know, it keeps people sane. Sadly, weak-minded.
I would disagree with
that. Well, weak-minded people. You know?
Well, yeah, if you're a dumb person that needs a simple answer to a hard question, then yeah, religion's for you. But,
well, listen, if we agree, why are we arguing, John?
Right, but there's a difference between just, like, I don't know. I don't think anybody's challenging your masculinity. We've talked about, I think I explained what toxic masculinity actually means. It doesn't mean, like, that you are a toxic masculine. It's the idea that to be a real man, you have to be a Mark Splude type. And that's not helpful.
To the men who aren't?
Yeah, to anybody.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm not, I don't do my podcast to be helpful for anybody. I don't, do my comedy to help anybody. It's all for me, John, you know?
Well, I know, but it gets to a point where you being for you is taking away from somebody else.
How maybe. So? What, how am I taking away from anybody? What do you mean?
Well, somebody that's hearing that, who might like to carry around a purse, might be like, oh, I can't be me because Merck's food will make fun of me.
No, you can certainly be you. You can certainly be and you, but I just want to be me, too.
Yeah, you know? But I wouldn't call myself a manly man, but I'm not self-conscious about it, and I don't care what you have to say about it.
Yeah, exactly. But. Exactly.
But, I don't know, I'm just, you're not, like, what, if we don't want to bring this into it, we can change gears, but you have a son. What if he grows up listening to dad spouting off, this is how a real man is, and what if he has an instinct that is different from what you're saying, and he feels like he needs to hold that in because dad might not be on board?
What if that happens?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think, to be honest, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I spent a great deal of time with my son. It's not like he only hears me say things like that. You know yeah. what I mean? And in my house, my wife is a queen, you know, and my son wouldn't dare say, you know, a bad word to my wife and certainly wouldn't raise his hand to her or anything like that. You know, I'm teaching my son respect for women, ultimate respect for women. So right. I'm not concerned.
Does ultimate respect for women include the claim that across the board men are smarter than women?
Well, that's a bit, first of all.
Okay.
And challenge that. And like I say in my bit, if men weren't smarter than women, how can we rule the world?
Would you say that during slavery, white people were inherently smarter than black people because we were running stuff?
Well, you're putting me on the spot, right? But possibly.
Yeah, but it got to a certain point where, like, you need to be, it takes time to overcome something that's already in place. Like, there was a time, like, the men being in charge of everything is still left over back from caveman days where you just, all you had to do was overpower a woman to make her do what you want.
Yeah. And that's still in our DNA. I mean, we're right. not far removed from that.
But yeah, you're that's entrenched in the same way that like some like third generation trust fund kid would be like, why isn't everybody else doing what I do? I work hard. I'm making my money. I got a job. But like, yeah, you already started out from like there's a cartoon that. That shows, like, well, everybody's starting from the same starting line on the racetrack, but this lane's got all this garbage in the way, and like it, and like the white straight man lane is like clear sailing,
right?
Comparatively,
is
but
it really,
no, not ever,
because that hasn't been my
experience. On the whole. Well, and that's another thing. Like, sure, you've had a rough life. I've had a rough life, and it's hard for
life
people.
Life is rough for everybody, man. Yeah, everyone, all these. I'm a survivor. You're surviving life just like everybody else.
Right, but I would say that as bad as anything that we've gone through, it probably would have been worse.
Maybe
if we didn't have like the free pass.
That was what free pass? What are you talking about?
I think there'd be a lot more stuff in your way if you were a different color or a different gender or a different sexual orientation.
Yeah, but it's not like I live in this giant mansion driving a Mercedes going, oh, it's great to be white.
It doesn't have to be, but you've got a comfortable life.
Oh, sure.
You've got two cars.
Sure.
And a nice house.
I just had one stolen.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
And you're appearing on St. John Forward Radio.
I've got my own stripes. Exactly.
I think there have only been white people on this show. So.
Well, that's on you. That's not on me.
I don't. People of color, reach out to me. I don't know many of you. I want to.
People of color, reach out to me. Is that your statement on St. John Forward Radio?
Yep, that's right.
Oh, boy.
We need to check off those boxes and get the quotas up. I've had a bunch of women on. We just had Brittany Campbell for an extended period.
Yeah, that's right. See, I gave up a lot of my time to a woman.
This
right?
Let's be clear. This is all my time.
Okay. All right. All right.
All right. Well, we're nearing the end of the program. We're at 9:55.
Oh, thank
goodness. Do you have any stuff you want to plug?
You know what I want to plug? I want to plug No Jokes Bar Deluxe at O'Leary's on July 7th. I'm closing the show with a half an hour. It's going to be mostly brand new, and it's going to be rated XXX and above. It's going to be pretty terrible. If you're going to be offended by anything, please don't come to this show, or at least leave before I get on stage, because I am going to offend probably everybody.
I'm shaking in my boots. You're too edgy for me. anything else? Spludcast, SoundCloud,
and iTunes?
Yeah,
I got a Spludcast with Matt Keenan coming out later this week. And yeah, iTunes, the Spludcast.
As for me, this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I'll performing with K. Trevor Wilson.
I think that's his name. I think that's how you say it.
I don't know why I'm spacing on his last name, but anyway, the guy from Letterkenny. We're doing Thursday at the Evandale Resort. Chris Trotter and Jimmy McKinley are also on that show, and then we're at Chuckles on Friday and Saturday, the 23rd and 24th.
Looking forward to
get
that
at
show.
That. It's going to be a good show, and aside from that, usual No Jokes Barred stuff. I'm currently not on the lineup for Deluxe, but it's going to be a good show. I might pop in and do a few minutes. Who knows?
Oh, Demoxworthy's anyway. On that too, isn't
yeah.
he? Demox on the Deluxe.
Yeah, and Troy Haynes and
excellent.
Adam Landry hosting.
Oh boy.
Should be
shenanigans.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what we've got. If you're hearing this, you don't need to worry about the podcast feed being changed, but I don't know. I don't know how to solve the problem. iTunes seems to work. My podcast app doesn't, so I can't listen to my own show on my phone. I could go to iTunes.
Well, get an iPhone.
I have an iPhone. I have a specific. I use the Downcast app. It's much better than the built-in iTunes podcast thing that's on my phone. I can set up a playlist, and it automatically populates and plays stuff in order that they came out.
Oh, okay.
Different podcasts. I don't know why it's not working, and I don't want to have to switch to iTunes just for one podcast when everything else I listen to is on the other one.
But it's your podcast.
Yeah, well, I was here for it.
There you go. Thanks for having me on, John.
Thanks for coming. Computer's frozen. Let's close it out with the outro, and
just before we do, Arif Hussein just sent me a message saying that he himself is a person of color. So he would
forgot.
All right,
it's because
brown guy.
It's because I don't see color. I didn't remember that Arif was on the podcast twice and will be back again. We forgot.
Maybe not.
I'm sorry, we forgot you were brown, Arif. Good night.